Welcome to What's Happening. I'm Aaron. Got some great guests coming in a moment. That was Mozart done by Metallica. What a way to go, huh? Let's play a little bit of Paul Justin Mooney, and we'll have the great band in with us in a moment. Enjoy.
Yes, a woman. It's all because of a woman. Well, she left me. Then I started drinking. Now I'm thinking. It's always because of a woman. If she will leave you, at the first she will deceive you. Down St. Bob.
can't cover it up. You can try, but you can't get enough. You can try. You can try, but you can't cover it up. You feel high, so come on, keep it up. The desire, can you get enough? You can try. You can try, but you can't cover it up.
Get higher so we can't get it. Her ticket is a little packet of white powder called heroin. But every packet of heroin is different. You don't know what's getting into you. Some doses are so strong they kill. Heroin is so vicious that the criminals who make the big money in heroin don't use it. They know a lot of reasons why heroin is very, very dumb. Maybe that's why they call it dope.
Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron.
I'm Brian
from Whistlebot.
I'm Pat.
David.
I'm Andrew.
I'm John.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So, let us know a little bit about the band.
Well, the band actually started back in 2015. John and, this is Dave speaking, John and myself met at the Berklee College of Music. We were introduced by a friend, and you know, she said to John, "Hey, I know a guy who loves fish, he loves jam bands, and you're really going to like him, I think you guys will get along." So ever since then, me and him connected. That was back in 2009. In our first semester of Berklee. And, you know, the years go on. John moves back to New York, where he's originally from.
Yeah, we went years without even actually really talking to each other.
Yeah, we you know, we kind of texted once in a while and kind of kept up. But when I heard you're moving back, it was just, you know, it was magical. Kind of got together, made some music together, and then you introduced me to Brian and Pat, also from New York. And, you know, tell us a little bit about that, when you guys used to play together as kids.
Yeah, Pat and Brian and I used to play in a band together in high school, and we did that for a handful of years. We used to be called the Vagabonds, and then we all ended up moving to Boston, and we knew we just had to play music together again.
Yeah, we all, you know, started playing in 2015, really started gigging in 2016, and Andrew, my brother, actually had joined the band back in 2017, rounding out the lineup, and we've been playing a lot of gigs ever since. But looking forward to getting in the studio this fall. We're going to be hopefully recording a full album by next year, have it mixed and mastered and ready to send out into the world.
So let's go around the room. What did you listen to growing up? What made you fall in love with music?
Well, I grew up listening to a lot of blues. I was fortunate to have an awesome guitar teacher in my community that Pat also took lessons from. And he, early on, had me listening to Eric Clapton, the Blues Breakers, just a lot of blues.
You can bring it down if you like.
And that's really what got me started into the guitar playing. I just fell in love with the soulful blues playing. Couldn't get enough of it.
Yeah, and we just had the Queen of Soul pass away a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, running out of the older talent that brought the music to us.
Yep. My first exposure to her and the Blues Brothers was huge. That's like a huge thing that got me into soul music and stuff. James Brown, Ray Charles, all of them, their performances in that movie was pretty amazing.
They basically tried to say that that was the rejuvenation of the blues.
What was? The movie?
The movie. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, blues were still around, but not as prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's similar to, you know, you've heard of that band called Aerosmith.
Oh, yeah, I think I heard of them.
And their career was until Run DMC played, right, and they came together. And, of course, you know where Aerosmith is today. So, I mean, it's great when something out there brings back great music.
They get the band back together.
And, well, like you said, you know, blues, I mean, you know, the roots of music are, you know, blues, jazz, and
American music,
yeah. Which is, you know, what did the Beatles listen to?
American music.
Which is ironic that, you know, in order to, you know, get into their music, they had, you know, the sailors come into town with the, you know, 45s and they listen to the music, and then they come over here and take it over. Mm-hmm. They came over to the United States and took over, and we know where music is today, but their knowledge base was huge, mm-hmm. you know, because it wasn't just blues or jazz, it was everything.
That was kind of the story of how, like, my music taste evolves, because I started with 60s, 70s British Invasion, and I thought they were the front of it. I thought they were the people who brought that here, just from England. They came up with it. So, you know, I was introduced to all that music through my dad and stuff, and just all the classics, you know what I mean? And then you listen to them for long enough, you exhaust their catalog, and then you start reading about them and where they got their influences, and then you go back in time, even earlier, you know?
Similar to why I played, you know, Metallica doing Mozart. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, one, it's not something you expect them to do. Mm-hmm. And two, it was a great work of music by Mozart and by Metallica.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Creating a hybrid there. We'd consider ourselves a jam band, first and foremost. I mean, jazz and rock is definitely a good mix of that. A lot of funk going on, but, you know. One of our shows could be, you know, more vocal heavy, more happy, and then another one of our shows could be, you know, more instrumental, a little bit more dark and brooding. So you kind of never know what you're going to get, you know, when you come to one of our shows. We kind of make the set list, you know, kind of make it try to fun for the audience as far as, you know, guessing what's going to come next. And, you know, typical of jam bands, we do like to blend songs into each other, which makes it exciting for the audience. You just don't know what's going to go next. I heard on the last show you guys were playing the Star Wars theme, which, you know, we like to pull out once in a while when we're playing a show.
Well, a couple of those songs, like Star Wars, was in honor of my father's 80th birthday, which was on Friday. And I put together 25 songs that cover 80 years, and it's just a lot there.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, yesterday I played a lot of that, but also I played a few songs done by Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds actually could sing.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, he could sing, and we lost a great actor. We lost, you know, I mean, some people saw him in Smokey and the Bandit, or something, you know, some of the newer stuff, but I brought out some of the theme songs from Gunsmoke and Hawk and Dan August, which were shows that he was on before he became the you know, great actor in Deliverance, and I could, you know, with him you can go on, you know, and on and on and on.
What kind of music did he make?
It was contemporary.
Okay.
You know. But he did actually do a song. I don't know if you gentlemen have ever heard the song "You're the Top."
Nope.
Okay. Great song. First time I ever heard it was on the Dick Van Dyke Show, which just basically shows how old I am. And he did that with the great Bostonian Madeline Kahn. Now, did you ever? I would assume all of you gentlemen have seen Blazing Saddles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, classic.
She was the female lead in there, and, you know, but she could sing too. I mean, yeah, there was a lot more other than just playing the part, but, and so they did that song together, and it's like, okay, get two great classic actors and singing.
A lot of great actors can sing, yeah. You know what I mean? They're just performers, entertainers. I never knew that, realized that really growing up. You know, when you go out to California, you got to have a lot of talent. You can't just do one thing. You know what I mean?
Unless you do it well.
Unless you do it well, then you stick to it. But, you know.
Yeah, like the people who went out there from, you know, Russia and then from New York and decided to make movies.
True. Risky.
And risque. But
go back to the influences. If you guys want to, I was going to. John went to the blues. Then I was. This is Andrew speaking, by the way. Early 60s stuff. I was interested in making music, instruments, and also producing music. Another, you know, got that through reading about the Beatles, George Martin, and, you know, all those guys. All that 60s, the tape stuff, the vinyl. So I've been into that, playing drums, bass, playing with Dave forever. You know, we'd always just try to copy. You know, we were 8 years old, we were playing NSYNC. And by the time we joined the jazz band in high school, we were playing, you know, jazz, we're trying to play jazz and jamming and funk and stuff like that.
trying to create something that's exciting and new and unique sounding. You know, we don't venture too far. We don't consider ourselves, you know, super progressive or like a math rock band. We try to make it accessible so people can kind of walk in off the street and start dancing. You know, that's the idea, is to make it dancey, make it fun, but also make it interesting. As far as influences, I think, you know, Phish is a big influence for me. Growing up, I listened to 60s rock until I got into Medeski, Martin and Wood, John Scofield, people like that. You know, I was listening to the 60s beach rock, but until then, you know, jam band has really been kind of pushing forward, and, you know, it's amazing just how many different bands are out there and how many different sounds are out there.
Beach rock?
Yeah.
Surf rock.
Dick Dale.
Dick Dale, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, I've got to go for the Beach Boys, Jan and Dean, you know, like I said, going back. You know, I didn't find out about the Beach Boys until a friend of mine said, come over to the house. I was, what, 7.
Yeah.
Here's an album. He put the record, that's right, a record.
Mm-hmm. Love him.
You notice we have a few around here. And heard the Beach Boys for the first time. And then he put another song on by the Cowsills, which were the influence for, they were actually going to be the Partridge Family, but they wanted their mother to play the lead. Hmm. And they said, no, we want Shirley Jones. So became the Partridge Family and played the song Hair. You know, I've seen the movie, but it's just, you know, gets great influences just listening to movies.
Good Vibrations.
Yeah. Or what about
Landmark song?
Assume all of you gentlemen watch cartoons growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Warner Brothers.
Of course.
You know, and did you know you got a classical history lesson?
Watching what?
Every single one of those cartoons.
Oh, yeah. Leonard Bernstein? Is that them?
Oh, you had the Barber Seville when you had, you know, Bugs Bunny, you know. You had, you know, just all the great music behind it. And you didn't know that you were getting a history lesson. But it's a great way to get music out to the masses, and wow, you know.
Those songs were a lot of fun to play. We used to play them in the, you know, high school bands, have all the scores and stuff.
Probably William Tell Overture, you know, the Lone Ranger theme. And that was in, you know, it had to be in a dozen Bugs Bunny cartoons. Mm-hmm. So
a lot of fun to play.
As far as influences go, for me, I probably started really getting into music with, again, like, you know, like British hard rock, well, like Zeppelin and The Who, that kind of stuff, especially as a bass player. I loved John Paul Jones and John Entwistle. And then eventually I got more into like the virtuoso bass players, listening to Stanley Clark, and that led me to jazz fusion, and just really fell in love with improvisation.
What so about that Eiffel?
Eiffel 65.
The first CD I ever owned was Eiffel 65, which also it influenced a lot of my current music tastes. I love dance music.
Yeah. Very catchy.
Love the visceral feeling you can get from a 4-on-the-floor drum beat. I listen to a lot of music now. A lot of bands in the jam band scene combine electronic music with improvisation, and I really love that. My favorite band is a band called the Disco Biscuits, who that's like their thing. But yeah, I try to get Dave to slam on the 4-on-4 as much as I can.
It's hard to tame him. You can't tame him.
I love the 4-on-4.
Also hides my secret love of disco as well.
Well, it's guilty pleasure.
Look, talk about the Bee Gees, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know, the Bee Gees' first hit in America was Massachusetts.
That's the name?
That's the name of the song. They'd never been to Massachusetts, but that was the first hit in the United States. And just, you watch the progression of their music from their older stuff to disco to how many other people they wrote for. Mm. You know, and even they wrote for their brother, wrote for Andy also. And it just, so, you know, Saturday Night Fever is out there on to watch, and you can't miss the disco sounds. But
That movie is weird looking back on it now.
Well, one of the larger disco queens was Donna Summer.
Oh, yeah, I love and Donna.
And where's she from?
I don't know.
Boston.
Boston? Really?
Absolutely.
I didn't know that. Oh, man.
Yeah, so you never know.
Biscuits poison Donna Summer.
Yeah, I feel love.
Yeah, I think especially when I was like really getting into playing music, I think some of my biggest influences were I was really into like American heavy, like heavy rock, like Mars Volta, Tool, Queens of the Stone Age, like Smashing Pumpkins, Rage Against the Machine, and I never really had an introduction to like jazz fusion or jam band music until I moved to Boston when around the time that this group formed. So that's been a really cool discovery for me because I can now proclaim that the Disco Biscuits are my favorite band. Like on the course to see them like 30 times in less than 2 years. But yeah, all that kind of stuff. Definitely more of like a rock kind of background. But I think I definitely, as with anything, like your tastes are a progression. And it started with, you know, like embarrassing things like Hoobastank, and then went to like Incubus, oh, and then yeah, that led to like, you know,
Smash Mouth.
Yeah, right.
You know, well, which, you know, it's all
they
it's
have
all
some good tracks. I'm going to stand up for Smash Mouth.
No, that's a good thing.
I shouldn't say that it's embarrassing. You know, you got to start somewhere.
Well, but you know what? You wouldn't be playing music if you didn't have your influences.
Of course.
So and it helps. I mean, when you're doing your writing, when you're performing, to have five distinct. And we're talking about that off the air, you know, why five, why not seven, why not four, mm-hmm. You know, it's five. And five different minds working together, playing music similar, interests growing up, but different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like your first song, mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that was actually the first song we ever wrote, and I think it actually came from a jam where we switched instruments.
Did, yeah.
Yeah, Pat kind of laid down the just verse guitar part. Yeah, and I just added parts, and it's been around the longest.
Yeah.
Kind of just took off from there. It's almost like, you know, starting a project and coming back to it the next week and adding it and changing it. So a lot of our songs, they go through, you know, changes before they're actually, you know, final. But this was the funny thing about that song. It was the first song we ever actually wrote on paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's called It's Too Bad Too. Mm-hmm. That performance was from a show at Thunder Road in July, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
We have a residency there once a month. We play one Tuesday a month. We call it Thrunk Tuesday.
Speaking of that, we actually do have a show coming up there this Tuesday, Tuesday the 11th. So the show starts at 8. Love to see you there. It's at Thunder Road in Somerville.
Dave's birthday party.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's also a nice way to celebrate being together because that's really a tough day.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's a Tuesday this time.
And 9/11, but it's just a very, very tough day.
Definitely.
As a matter of fact, there was a benefit last night at the Baptist Church in Newton, in honor of a few people who were lost during 9/11. And you had Peter Hackle, you had James Montgomery, you had John Butcher, Joe Maffey, and many others there last night. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's just something you don't forget.
Yeah.
But you know, it brought everybody together. And they're still doing it because it's a benefit, but it's an honor.
Yeah.
I look at it more of an honor instead of a memory of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So, who does the writing?
It's a little shared. Bit of, I would say that Brian and Andrew and John have contributed the most compositionally. We definitely do some. It's more like somebody brings in something, and then we all kind of,
add to it,
shape it, decide how we want to arrange it. But I would say that the three of them definitely bring in the.
We all have different styles.
Yes,
of telling each other how
true.
To play the song, and you know, like that song that we played there. It's Too Bad Too. Like, I came in way after the song was done, and I just threw the electric piano on it, and. You know, they were like, okay, sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? just work. And then other songs, it's like, nope, stop doing that. John's very particular, which is good, because it's hard to tell somebody how to do something without being annoying.
Yeah.
So, it's hard for me.
Music first, lyrics first, influence on, I mean, you know, are you walking down the street and something hits you and say, hey, that sounds good, you know?
Definitely instrumentals first.
Yeah, definitely instrumentals first for us.
I don't think that, you know, not to disparage like our vocals or our lyrics, but it's just generally not, it's just not something that we emphasize. I mean, we use them sparingly, and it's, I would say that of our catalog of original stuff, it's probably about a 50-50 split, songs that do have vocals, and even then it's kind of like, it's like a verse-chorus thing, then there's an extended jam, so.
Because I noticed in this song, you know, the vocals came towards the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're in the beginning. And
But
you're listening to the great sound in between the lyrics. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
And that's, you know, and I apologize for not hearing the beginning because I was listening to the music and then, but hearing it towards the end. Yeah. So that's, I guess that's a good thing because it's like, it draws you in.
Yeah. It's also, we like to use it as a device where you kind of bookend the jam and the music in the songs, and you can use the jam as a way to transition between songs. Like, we might like sing the beginning of that song and then play it into another song and then maybe come back and do the ending later or maybe not even play it.
I think the idea too is improvisation. That's, you know, we're very heavy on that, being able to just let go and let something build and create something new kind of from nothing.
Which, we take the jazz structure, the head of the song, you know, mm-hmm. and then big improv and then bring it back to the head and then either go into a different song or end the song, you know.
Yeah, and the idea sometimes is to, you know, have the same song, you know, not sound the same, mm-hmm. you know. Basically every show it's a kind of a new mm-hmm. song for somebody, kind of a new adventure.
It's tough for us to nail down and pick a version of a song and then put it to
so
a recording.
Many different ones, you know.
Well, that'll be great because you'll just put out, you know, a 30 CD set with the same song played differently. One for every day of the month.
Nice.
Hadn't thought of that. That's not
one moon cycle. Yeah.
Moon cycle.
So, got another song coming up. Want to tell us a little bit about the song?
This one was written by John.
Yeah.
I'll let John take it over.
Is this the only song I've actually...
No, you had Ginseng as well.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
this song is called Thrunk.
Yeah, Thrunk.
It's a fun one.
Which is where we got Thrunk Tuesdays from. You know, this is a song that just came to me, and I think the only reason I brought it into the band is because for some reason at the time... I was like, I'm going to start writing stuff out on sheet music, which only happened for this song, I think. And it came to me, and I had the sheet music out, and I just made a point to write it out. And so I did the whole thing at once, which doesn't happen often for me. Usually I come up with a part, and like 2 years later, it's in a song.
Mm-hmm. Is there a meaning behind the word?
Thrunk.
It was one of our potential band names.
Yeah, it took us a while to name the band, and we had this ongoing list of names, and that was like, Thrunk was a potential, for some reason it just kind of, to me, like when I say Thrunk, I kind of feel like that's kind of embodies us a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like a, kind of a dirty sounding word.
Thick
but
funk.
Also like
throbbing funk.
Also the funk.
Yeah,
the funk,
funk.
A little like, because we kind of put, really we put our own spin on funk.
Yes.
But it's a very rhythmic song, which you'll hear.
Yeah, it's got a lot of groove to it. It's actually a lot, it's kind of Allman Brothers-y. I think I was digging on some Allman Brothers stuff at the time.
Allman Brothers. I wouldn't get that from the song.
I think a lot
but
of
that's
people.
That's interesting.
A lot of people do say that about us.
Yeah.
About Thrunk?
Or about us in general.
Oh, yeah.
Or it's thinking about an Arunk.
Yeah.
Song features a very great guitar solo by John.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He shreds it. So hope you enjoy.
Enjoy.
Thrunk by Whistlebot. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron.
Brian.
Pat.
David.
Andre.
John.
We're from Whistlebot. Mm-hmm.
So we just heard a great video. You got to see the video. So we're talking off the air. Tell us about the making and creation of the video.
Dave, take it away.
So we been looking for a while at that point to, you know, have a couple day retreat and really focus on making some good music and getting some high quality recordings. And, you know, up till then we really kind of weren't doing it the right way. We were using a really kind of basic recorder, you know. So one of John's friends back from New York came out to help us set up. He goes by Shmave. And he helped us set up, actually in my house. So we set up in my living room, brought all the sound deading material we could think of.
Mattresses,
blankets, all types of stuff. The living room was a mess, but we camped out there for 2 days and got some pretty good tracks.
It was all live playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely worth mentioning, is that, you know, our sound is definitely more of a live sound. We're not really a studio type of band, just, you know, by the nature of the music that we play. Heavy improvisation. You know, that entire guitar solo, drumming, everything there was basically improvised. But, you know, to us, that's what we want to sound like. So, you know, and we actually got comfy after about, you know, a day playing. You know, kind of took us a little while to kind of, you know, shake off the jitters at first. And I think that recording was from the second day when we were a little bit more comfortable in our surroundings. And we just wish we got to stay there for a little bit longer. We would have got a lot more. Yeah. But it was definitely an experience. We learned a lot from it, you know, and we do plan to record coming up at the end of this year and into the winter. So look for some new material coming out there as well.
And you mentioned you went to Berkeley.
Yes, I did go to Berkeley. It was always my dream. I always wanted to be a musician. I've been playing drums since, you know, I was 2 years old. And, you know, when I got the letter that I was accepted, I was like, I have to do it. Mm-hmm. I have to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a great experience. I really did learn a lot. I became a better musician. There's no doubt about that. Learned a lot of things about music I didn't know. And, you know, one of the greatest things about going to Berkeley was meeting John, you know. I was introduced to him by a friend, and, you know, we wouldn't have Whistlebot if it wasn't for that. So it's a great spot, if anything, for networking. Yeah. You know, even if you don't graduate, you'll meet people, you'll get connections.
Did you graduate?
I did not graduate. Nope. I'm unabashed on that.
neither did John.
Yeah, you went. Dave went longer than
that. Does anybody graduate from Berkeley?
Yeah, there are a few people who do graduate.
There are. And they're successful.
As a matter of fact, there's a great band that won an award last night in New England Music Awards, Flight of Fire.
Mm. Oh,
they're all graduates from Berkeley.
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah.
Berkeley's expensive, let's just be honest here. Unless you get a full scholarship, you know, you better have some plan when you get out of there.
Every school is expensive, but as you said, you know, for networking, it's priceless.
Yeah.
But you'll see that some of what you learned is going to influence how you create.
Of course.
And it doesn't matter what you went to school for. I mean, you know, even though people say, well, you know, do I really need to have geometry? Mm-hmm. Do I really need to, you know how to communicate? Mm-hmm. Huh. Jeez, in the entertainment business?
I think we all have very diverse majors. John, you're doing computer engineering right now?
Yeah, I'm going back to school now for, computer science.
I have like a business degree. Brian's going back to school for...
What is it? Engineering. Yeah, engineering. My degree's in geology, so a lot of different stuff. Pat went to school for music, too.
Jazz studies.
Pat graduated.
I did. Oh. Not from Berkeley.
Close enough.
No offense, guys.
So I guess you'll be going back, too.
I won't be. I have a pretty good job.
Past that.
I work in the car industry. Work for some nice brands, Jaguar and Land Rover. And you know, I love what I do. I love interacting with people, and you know, get to talk about music too.
Yeah, there's a gentleman who's in the car business who plays music around too.
Oh yeah, who's that?
Ernie Bach.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Ernie Bach and the Automatics.
And the Mechanics.
Ernie and the Automatics.
I usually see him once a year. We tend to go down to the Vineyard at least once a year, and we see him down there driving around.
Let's get it going.
Yeah, he's you know, straight up rock. straight up rock. But he's got the hair. I'll tell you that. He's got the hair.
He does now. A little different than his dad.
Yeah.
So let everybody know where they can find your music, because what we're going to do is have you guys back on so you guys can perform live.
Nice.
Yes.
So let everybody know where you can find your music, where your gigs are, where you're performing next.
Best avenue to find us is whistlebotband.com. That'll link you up to our different social media pages, Instagram, YouTube. We got tons of high quality videos on YouTube for you guys to check out. Our next show is the Tuesday the 11th at Thunder Road. And we really look forward to come back and playing some live stuff for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great music. And keep it up.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Because as I had Monk, also want to thank Monk Twain for calling in a little earlier, Performer of the Year, and his brand new video, Another Day, Another Bullet. Thank you all, because without great local music, we have silence.
Yeah. Amen.
Thanks
a lot. So, thank you very much, and you are?
Whistlebot.
Get out there and see him perform. And get your album done.
Yeah.
So we've got more to show and play and everything else.
For sure.
Cool. Thank you again for listening to us here on What's Happening, WMFO in Medford. Gentlemen, enjoy the rest of the week. And everybody, happy and healthy New Year. Happy Rosh Hashanah. Shana Tova.
And you will undoubtedly hear it many more times as the days go by. Now, just in case you're hazy on exactly what it means, let me give you a rough idea. It means that the cost of your clothes and food has gone up to a point where the family budget has become somewhat strained. Well, that's one of those things. And you can't be expected to increase the family income. But there are some things you can do to help. For instance, take better care of your clothes. When you come home from school, change into old clothes before you go out to play. Take care of your health, because doctors and medicines are expensive. Eat well, but don't waste. Take your full share, but eat all you take. Try not to ask mother and dad to buy you things you don't actually need. Make the best and the most of what you've got. Try to be more than usually careful of your school equipment, such as paper, pencils, and so forth. Make them last and go as far as you possibly can. Remember that all members of a family must pull together at a time like this. So do your share.
Public ou